You're not gonna say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs and are they in harmony? You're a helpful snowman.
Hey everybody, welcome.
Welcome.
We're back. I put on my sunglasses. These are an invention that I came up with. They're like reading glasses that you nerds wear, but they block out the sun. And that's a thing I invented, and so I'm going to be rich. Last time we talked, it was probably Potoween. So we got that taken care of. I have a whole list of stuff that I wanted to do for Potoween that we didn't get to do. So I'd like to say I was going to do it next year. You know, I'd like to say I'm like, oh yeah, because I'm an organized adult, I will have those organized and ready to go for next year. You know, let's just put that in the hopeful category, and then, you know, I think we all know there's a separation between the hopeful and the likely, right? So anyway, what's happened since then? Well, all right, personal life. Should we do the personal life? Poon Master Flex. So here's the timeline of Poon Master Flex. Last week, Halloween, and the Monday before it, she went with her dad. They hooked a U-Haul trailer up to his car, and they drove 90% of her shit out to Oregon, Beaverton, and moved her in, basically, on a small scale. And then she's back this week. We're sharing a studio apartment this week. Next week, or this coming Saturday, we go to Vegas for our race. Which I don't know if I've talked about how that's going, so we'll talk about that. And then we come back on Tuesday, and then we'll leave sometime Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, most likely. And drive her and Dizzy, the cat, out to Beaverton, and then I will fly home to my apartment, which will suddenly seem so large with only Peter living inside it. It's been like fine. Honestly, living in it's a little weird because she's definitely, like, walking on eggshells, I think, in the apartment, because she just, you know, she feels like it's my space that she's, like, invading, which I makes sense, right? Because it's like, well, yeah, I mean, it's my apartment. She's coming in. She was saying it was kind of interesting because I'd always told her when we had lived in a house together for a while that I felt like I moved into her place and was living in her place. And she didn't really know what that meant exactly, and now she's like, I kind of get what you were saying there. Like, that's kind of how this feels, you know? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it sort of sucks, right? And she's like, yeah, it sucks. But for the most part, it's fine. You know, the cat's in there, and took her about 4 hours to start spreading her kitty litter everywhere. I started wondering if they call it litter, because it's like, she's a litter bug. She just spreads it everywhere. I don't know why. I don't know how, but it happens. She's very good about if she sees a piece on the floor, she'll just eat it. So I guess that's her way of cleaning up after herself. That's something. So anyway, that's where we're at. That's what our lives are going to look like for the next little while. And that's the plans. That's the plans as far as they've been made for the next little while, at least. So there you go. There's that. So the race. So I was pretty far into my marathon training. I think it was a 17-week program. But the last probably 2 weeks of it are, you know, taper down. So you run not too long the last 2 weeks. even the last 3 weeks, really, I guess, because you have your taper down, your even further taper down, and then you have your race day. So I had, I think, two long runs left. As far as, you know, I had done a 20-miler, and then I had another 20, and then a 22, and then it goes way down to 13, and then down to 8, I think. And so here's what's happened. Once I got up above 14, I started having a few different problems. One is my leg. My leg is fucking killing me. I'm pretty sure I've got, like, an IT band injury here. And the only way to deal with that is to rest. So, and it's pretty painful. Like, it's a, you know, I would be running for 14 miles, and then I think the last 7 of it, I'd be in some pretty solid amount of pain. And then, you know, it'd be throbbing, and I couldn't sleep that night, and so on. And there was the additional, like, I was getting the worst, like, stomach cramps and nausea I've ever had. Now, it's kind of interesting, because, like, I tried some different things to solve this, like drinking water, drinking different amounts of water, drinking different stuff, trying to get some calories in right after I finished running, a lot of different shit, and basically nothing worked. I mean, I just kind of like, and it was getting progressively worse the longer I went. So that kind of sucked, and I was, you know, looking at other experimental ways to do it. And I just wasn't finding anything that was working. You know, when I say experimental, that makes it sound like, well, I, you know, inserted this probe into my rectum to measure my internal body. It wasn't like that. It was just, you know, experimenting, eating, and drinking differently, right? And then, you know, running differently, too. So I ran 14, and it had kind of started. Then 16, it was pretty bad. 18, it was bad. And then 20, it was really bad. It was really, really bad. I mean, I was, like, debilitated for the next... Here's the thing that made it really bad. I was debilitated for, like, the rest of the evening, which was not a big deal. But then, I mean, debilitated to the point where Poonmaster Flex and I were going to watch a movie and eat pizza. And I was unable to do that. I was like, I can't do that. Like, I just feel too sick. I need to just... It took all the strength I had to, like, rinse off in the shower and get in bed. And then, like, I got up in the middle of the night to eat some breadsticks because I was, like, really hungry and just knew if I could force something down, I'd be feel better. So that was kind of, that was the 20, right? And so that was pretty concerning, although I was like, I only have to do 2 more long runs and then whatever. But the leg injury was more concerning because I just felt like, is it worth it to keep doing this to possibly, you know, like, this IT band thing can become a chronic thing if you don't rest it, right? And I was like, not really. I mean, that's not worth it to me. So I decided after running that 20, I would take a few days off. And, you know, that was the other thing is, so my stomach was bad not just that night, but all the next day and even a little bit into the Monday. And then my leg was just aching for like 4 days. So I decided to take a few days off and just see like, all right, maybe I'll feel better and yada yada. And Poonmaster Flex and I went on a fancy date, you know, and I was like, well, I'm going to have to go on this long run on this fancy date day or the day after. And that kind of blows, right? You know, we stayed in this nice hotel and I was like, do I really want to stay in a nice hotel and get up super early to go run? Not really, you know, all this shit, right? So between all this stuff, I kind of started thinking like, well, what if I didn't run the marathon? What if I said, fuck it? And I kind of started thinking about like, why are you running a marathon in the first place? You know, and the reason I was running it was for, you know, for a challenge, but also for fun. Like I was like, I want this to be fun. Because the marathon I ran like 10 years ago was not fun. Like, I trained a lot. I fucking hated it. I didn't enjoy it, right? And I was like, well, I don't really want to do that again. But I was like, maybe I'll take a shot at having fun this time, right? And I looked at it and I was like, I'm not having fun. Like, and I don't know. It's a weird thing to decide to not run the marathon. Because in one way, it feels like I'm saying, you know, anything that's not immediately fun is not worth doing, right? Or like, well, this wasn't fun, so I quit. And I quit anything in my life that's not fun. I mean, obviously I'm not that person. Like, I still have a job that I've had for like 13 years. I wouldn't say that that's super fun all the time. But I was like, this is how I'm choosing to spend a significant amount of my time. And like, I was just dreading these long runs. Like, I went on a Saturday early instead of a Sunday just to get it out of the way. Because I was like, I don't know, you're probably going to feel like shit and yada yada. And I was like, let's just go. So between that and the stomach and the leg, I was like, fuck it. I'm going to just run the 10K. Now, Poon Master Flex, and she was right. She's like, well, you could still run the half marathon. But I was like, eh. I mean, that's not... Having run training runs that are longer than that for, like, the last 6 weeks or something, it was like, I don't know, that wouldn't be tough. So I don't think there's much... There wasn't much interest in it for me. It didn't hold a lot of excitement for me. So I'm going to run 10K. You know, the other good thing is, like... So we're going to this race, and this is the first time Poon Master Flex has ever, like, done anything like this at all. And she was a little bummed out that I wasn't going to be at the finish, right? Because I'd be, you know, assuming that she didn't die and I didn't die, I'd be a couple hours behind her still. And so I wasn't going to see her finish, but now I will. So that's pretty cool. And, like, the other thing is... Now that she's moving away and stuff, I kind of want us to go on vacation and have fun. And I was like, if I feel like how I feel after these long runs, after running this marathon, like, I'm going to just want to go back to the hotel and curl in a ball for the next, like, 36 hours. I mean, I'm not going to want to go out and, like, do fun Vegas-y stuff, right? I'm not going to want to hang out with her. I'm not going to want to do anything fun. I'm not going to feel very celebratory. And that would just be a drag, I think. And I guess I kind of feel like there will be lots of opportunities to run a marathon if I want to do that, if I choose to do that, and that I should just try and do it when I'm feeling a little less pain and also, I don't know, a time that's a little better. I mean, it just kind of like, once I decided not to do it too, I felt pretty good about it because I was thinking... You know, before there was so many things to worry about, I was like, all right, so we get into Vegas on Saturday, got to make sure and, like, eat good on Saturday and go to bed on time and, like, get up at a certain time and then, you know, doing that hotel eating thing on Sunday, the day of the race. And, like, now I just feel like I could kind of do whatever the fuck I want and be fine. Like, the last... 10K race I ran, me and Nicanor ran it and drank beers, like, for one of the miles, you know what I mean? Like, I think I'll be fine. So that's kind of the end of my marathon journey. But, I don't know, I think I'll try again at some point. Like, if it wasn't for the leg pain and the stomach pain, I think that, I think I would have been better, and I honestly think that I think I, you know, upped my running amount a little too fast. Like, I went for sort of an intermediate training, and I probably should have just done a beginner. Because if I'm being honest with myself and how much I was running before, I was like, eh, I could probably do the beginner program and be a little better off. So, you know, this is not the end of my running career, but whatever. So there you go. That's the update on that. Halloween update. So I watched some movies. I had a hot dog costume, which I wore to volleyball. You know, I was like, oh, we should all wear costumes to volleyball. And about half the team participated. And those are the ones who I was like, well, you're a good teammate. And the other was I was like, you're dead to me, basically. I mean, why would you not wear a costume to a volleyball game when, you know, especially requested of you 2 days before Halloween? And multiple teammates were like, you know what, that hot dog costume, it was great, because, like, I mean, we lost horribly, but it's pretty fun to, like, watch a hot dog go for a dive, I have to tell you. So then I had the costume at home and decided to just wear it at home for a little bit, and so I was cat sitting that week, right, because Poon Master Flex was moving, and I'm cat sitting, and the cat and I have a good relationship, but, you know, she mostly wants me to pet her and turn on the bathtub so she can drink the water. And she's probably, like, sat on my lap or, like, really cuddled me, like, less than 5 times, right? I could count on one paw how many times. But what ended up happening was I put on this fucking hot dog costume and sat on the couch, and she immediately, like, jumped in my lap and, you know, got real comfy in my lap. So apparently the hot dog costume was a hit with the cat. So that's a Halloween update there. I watched a couple of movies. This was my plan was to do a Halloween movie marathon, but I had to do some work, so I couldn't do that exactly. But I watched a few. I watched Shocker, Wes Craven's Shocker. Was it shockingly great or shockingly bad? Neither. It was fine. It does have a weird ending that's very reminiscent of the movie Stay Tuned, if you've ever seen that shit, where they're, like, running through the TV channels, and it's not really clear how that works exactly. You know, it's like these two, it's Mitch Pileggi, who you may know as the asshole boss guy from fucking X-Files. What was that guy's name? Doesn't matter. And some kid. And they end up inside the TV, and they're, like, going from channel. So, you know, at one point, they're, like, in a black-and-white war movie, and everyone's like, who's that guy, you know, running around? And you're like, wait a minute. Does this, what door have we unlocked here with this? Like, are we saying that when you see a war movie on TV, it's not a movie. The war is happening right now, and we're just seeing it projected. You know what I mean? I don't get it. I don't know what they're trying to do there. But whatever. It was fine. It was fine. Then I watched Matinee, starring John Goodman. Matinee being a great example of a movie that is really hard to Google. Because you have to be like, Matinee movie John Goodman. You can't just be like, Matinee or Matinee movie, right? You can't add what the thing is and hope to get anything. It still doesn't work. You gotta be like, Matinee movie John Goodman 1990 whatever. That one's great. I highly recommend it. Not just because it's my TV dad John Goodman, but because it's kind of like a love letter to these old movies. You know, like, I don't know how many people know, like, they used to do back in the day, they would show movies, but they would have a lot of extra stuff going on in the theater. You know, they'd have, like, you'd go watch a scary movie and they'd have a sort of a ghost on a wire flying around, or they'd have somebody in costume come dressed up and, like, terrorize the audience. Shit like that, right? There was always a lot of, like, before the advent of IMAX or, like, comfortable chairs or whatever, they were like, what can we do to, like, bring people into the theater? So it's kind of interesting because I think that, like, I don't know, it's a very, like, loving portrait of that time and that sort of idea and the love of, like, schlocky movies. So it's a great one to watch around Halloween. It's got, like, a little bit of extra background stuff to it because it takes place during the Cuban Missile Crisis. So there's, like, not infrequent moments in the movie where someone's like, well, who gives a fuck about this stupid horror movie? Like, you know, real life is the horror. And you're like, yeah, kind of, but also this is like, it's a little bit of like, why does it matter? I mean, does it matter that, you know, people get these thrills and whatever? I mean, who cares? So it kind of makes it, I think, a nice argument in favor of it. And, you know, an argument in favor of people having sort of those experiences. It's not just always real life all the time. And also, I don't know, it's a lot of fun. There's nothing about it that's not fun. So it's pretty cool. Then I watched a movie called Death Spa. Death Spa is gotta be like this sort of like 80s exploitation horror. It's kind of like a prime example of it, I gotta say. It's about like this, you know, health fitness club that opens in, I think, Los Angeles area. And, you know, it it's all computer controlled, you know what I mean? So, like, you sit down on a machine and you put a card in and it's like, hello, Jeff, you know, putting the weights to your preferred weight, you know, and then you do a few reps and it's like, that seemed easy for you. I'm going to up the weight to what, you know, so I don't know. And, but of course, then everything goes haywire. There's a ghost involved. You know, somehow they made a lot of use of, like, people would be in the shower or the sprinklers would go off and it had, like, chlorine gas in it somehow. And no one ever really explained how that happened. And I feel like the ending, I got to be honest, I was falling asleep, but I don't understand what happened. I was like, wait, was, I think what happened was the club's owner had a wife who became paralyzed, and so she burned herself alive in her wheelchair because there was kind of like a repeated dream sequence where that was going on. And so I think that was the... And then she came back as a ghost and possessed her brother, who worked at the club and worked on the computer and was kind of... He's kind of set up to be the obvious, like, I don't trust this guy, you know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, no shit, because... I mean, if I just had an employee who talked to me that way, I'd be like, fuck you, like, you're out, you know? Let alone an employee who's like, I think he may be killing people using the showers. Okay. So, I don't know. And then there's just, like, other weird things that happen, though, like a diving board just breaks off. Although the lady just falls into the pool, it makes it like it's going to be this big disaster. And you see, like, I don't know, a ghost unscrewing a nut that holds a diving board on, and then she jumps on the board and she's bouncing on it like 1,000 times and then finally goes down and whatever. And but, you know, the board just, like, flops down. She goes into the water and you're like, eh, it seems fine. I mean, she's no worse for the wear. She wasn't even mildly injured. It was just whatever. There was a pretty good melting. They melted this lady with, I don't know, some kind of acid or something. That was pretty solid. They tried to kill this one lady by, I don't know, the ghost stuck her in a tanning bed, I guess, and locked her in there. She was knocked out or tied down or something. Which, that seemed, I guess, possible, but I don't know. I don't know how long it would take to die in a tanning bed. I guess that would probably be a good Potoween topic. Let's look at some of these death spa deaths and just see how realistic they are. Every Potoween episode next year will just be about death spa and the different aspects of it. Death spa is available on Amazon Prime. If you have Amazon Prime, you can get death spa. So there you go. If you want to experience it, I don't recommend it. But there you go. Especially in a world where there's matinee and, to a lesser extent, Shocker, I don't see a lot of reason to be hitting the death spa. But there you go. So Poonmaster Flex are going to be, and I are going to be driving out to Oregon, right? And we've got a 20-hour drive. We're going to try and go straight through just because, I don't know. It's like a 20-hour drive, you've got two shitty options. Drive straight through or drive partway and partway, right? And it's like, well, you could do half and half, but 10 hours is a long fucking day to drive. And it's not like there's somewhere in the middle to stop that's awesome or that you'd really want to stop anyway. The other thing is, you know, so I probably wouldn't want to do 10 and 10, right? I'd probably want to try and shoot for like 13 and 7 or something like that, if possible. Just because then you get back in the car the next day and you're like, all right, we have half as much. That's not so bad, right? But the other thing I start wondering is, you know, you get up to like 13 hours if you'd be like, if I felt like I could go 2 more hours, I'd probably want to do that. And then if I felt like I could go 2 more hours, you know what I mean? I can just see getting up to 13 and then being like, fuck it. Like, let's grind them out. Let's just finish this shit. And then you just have that one shitty drive, but then it's over. I don't know. I don't relish the idea of waking up the next morning, right? And waking up to do another long ass drive. So we needed to figure out some ways to keep ourselves occupied. One of the things that we're going to do is, you may remember that, I think it's in like maybe the first dozen shows or so, I drove out to Arizona with Ian, and we did like a 20 questions, but I think we did like 50 questions, and we each came up with like 50 questions for each other. And I think we both answered them, but now that part's fuzzy. I do remember that, like, the part where I was answering the questions was lost. This is a great lost tape. Because what happened was, this was the first, I think this was, you know, I'd had the recorder for 2 months or something. And I changed the batteries and didn't realize I'd left the sort of, it has an external mic, so you can just use it as its own microphone. Or it has microphone jacks. And I didn't have the jacks enabled. I had the external one enabled. And so then where I set the recorder, it was all engine noise. There was no recording. So, anyway, Poonmaster Flex and I are going to do a version of that. We're going to try and come up with 50 questions apiece for each other. So if you have questions that you think I should ask Poonmaster Flex, or if you want to give her questions for me, you know, do that in the next week or so. Well, the next week, because if you don't do it by then, fuck off. It's too late. We did have a thing, so we've been, you know, living in a very tiny apartment. And I was like, how long do you think we could do this? You know what I mean? Like, if this was our lives, I mean, how long do you think this would... How long would it take before we started making each other crazy? And she was like, I don't know, a couple months. And I was like, eh, that's not bad. But the other night, so we were, like, laying in bed because I was working on some stuff and she was working on some stuff. And then I was eating some Halloween candy. And then I woke up and, you know, threw the I had a fistful of wrappers. So here's what happened. At some point, I ate this candy and then I gathered up the wrappers in my hand to throw them away in the garbage and fell asleep. So I was on my back, like, with my arms up like a fucking baby. And, you know, I was snoring because I snore if I sleep on my back. And then I get back in the bed later, and I'm looking at her pillow, and I'm like, what's all over your pillow? Like, I thought it was makeup or something, but it looked weird. And she's like, that's chocolate. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, that's chocolate. Now, how did chocolate get on my pillow? Who was eating candy in the bed? And I was like, that was me. And then the next day discovered that also the shirt I had been wearing had chocolate on it. So I'm not totally sure how... I'm totally sure it was my fault. And I'm totally sure, you know, how... It's not like I don't understand how chocolate got in the room. But I'm still not totally sure how chocolate got on her pillow. And she's, like, unable to help me speculate on that because I think she's too mad. Because I think when I'm saying, but how did it get on your pillow? She thinks I'm trying to get out of it. I'm not. I'm genuinely curious of, like, but how did I do that? Like, how did I get it across the bed on your pillow when it was in my left hand and your pillow's on my right? You know what I mean? Just all that shit. And how come it's, like, on your pillow and a little bit on my shirt, but that's it? Like, how come there's no chocolate in the middle of the bed on the sheets or something? You know what I mean? Like, how come it's not everywhere? How come it's so centrally located and sort of not contained, but contained, right? But, yeah, so I'm 5 years old. You're listening to a show done by a 5-year-old. I hope you're proud of yourself for that. I hope you enjoy that fact. But, yeah, it's interesting living together. Like, I still don't like it. I gotta say, I don't love it. I don't know how other people do this, and, like, I don't know if this just doesn't bother other people or what. Like, I just don't like... Any moment that I'm at home is, like, you know, my partner is also there. And I feel like when I'm doing things, I have to sort of be like, okay, well, I'm going to do this now, because this is what I do, you know, at home during the day, or like, I don't know, it just feels like you don't have as much freedom to like, hey, I'm going to just clean out this closet right now in the middle of the fucking day. And I guess I don't want to consult with anyone about it. Maybe I'm just not good at sharing my life in that way. But that's how I feel. I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever get over that. I don't know if I'll ever feel good about that. You know, I don't know if I'll ever get over it in the way of like, eh, whatever, like, we live together, it's fine. And I don't know if I'll ever get over the, like, I just want to do exactly what I want to do. And, you know, it's not like I'm saying I want to do everything I want and just eat candy in the bed all the time and smear chocolate all over the bed. I mean, I did do that, but that's not really what I'm talking about, I guess. I just, you know, I feel weird about, like, all right, we live in an apartment, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go do podcasts now, and I need you to be quiet, right, for the next hour. Or I'm going to go work on some writing stuff, and I need you to not bother me. You know what I mean? Like, and not that she bothers me, just that it's like, well, I need to, like, work now, and bye. You know, or, like, when I cook or when I clean or whatever, I just like to listen to podcasts and stuff, and just, it, like, goes by, and she'll often talk to me while I'm doing that, so I have to, like, take them out and say, like, you have to say that again, like, I'm listening to a thing, so it's just, this is life. This is what life is, I guess, but living not together was pretty good, and there were some things about it that I liked. I don't know that I like the idea of living this not together as much as we have coming up here in the future, I gotta say. I don't know if that part is exciting to me, but, man, living apart, as they call it, apart together, is pretty awesome. Like, I don't know. I wonder how many relationships suffer from, you know, when you live together and it's like, you start doing all the menial shit together, you know what I mean? And like, the worst, most uninteresting, most labor-intensive parts of your lives are, when you move in together, that's what you start sharing. And like, maybe there's victories in there or something, maybe there's something I don't see, but I just feel like moving in together is you end up sharing the moments in your life that don't need to be shared, or that don't benefit from sharing or something. Like, they just suck. And it's like, why would I do this? Like, why would I want this? Why would I want this for you and for me? You know? I don't feel like it's good. I feel like it sucks. So anyway, and you're just sharing the, you know, all right, I'm taking out the garbage. I'm doing the dishes. I'm going to do this. You know, you're going to do that. And it's like, I don't know, man. It's going to be a weird months, year, years, whatever. We'll just have to see. We'll simply have to see. I don't know if I talked about this on the show since it happened, but an update on the love letters. I sent those out to like 5 or 6 small presses. I've heard back from 2 so far that said no thanks. So at that point, if I don't hear back from any of them, I did have an offer at one point from somebody. So I might go for that. And if that doesn't come through, then I'm just going to, you know, go my same self-publishing route and move on. So, I don't know. I'm hoping to have more news about that soon. I know I won't know for sure. And even, you know, fingers crossed, something happens with it. It's not like it wouldn't be coming out in 2 months or whatever. So there you go. That's what's going on with that. So I've been doing this leadership thing. It's like sort of for work, but it's through the city. And we had Public Safety Day last month, And so that was something I got to do. So we went to the sheriff's department first. So that was pretty... So we're in this room. And, you know, the sheriff's department, some of the people there are talking to us about what the sheriff does. And, you know, basically, I guess the sheriff is the police, but for the county. And the police are the police for the city. It seems to be the dumbed down version of it that... And when I say dumbed down, I don't mean me dumbed down for you. I mean that I understood, because I am an idiot. I'm an idiot, because right now I'm driving behind a dump truck that's doing like 20 miles an hour, because, you know, they build these giant trucks to haul shit around, and it takes them like 5 hours to get up to speed. Anyway, we go to the sheriff's department, and they're, you know, telling us how that works and stuff. And they're like, we're going to do a taser demonstration for you today. And, you know, I thought, like, all right, well, they'll shoot out the taser and show us how it works and whatever. And but no, in fact, they were going to tase a guy who, you know, one of the deputies, a sheriff's department guy, an officer. I don't know exactly what you call them, if they're all deputies or what. One of the dudes who works at the sheriff's office and has, like, a badge and shit, got tased in front of all of us. Now, this was, like, super interesting because, seemed pretty unnecessary to me. I mean, I was kind of like, I kind of wanted to be like, you don't have to do that, sir. Like, you do not have to get tased for our amusement. And I guess it wasn't for our amusement, but kind of. I mean, and, you know, they were telling him, like, don't swear. Like, don't yell any curse words or something. Because, you know, you're the sheriff's department and whatever. And I was like, I mean, we're all grown-ups here. And this guy volunteered to get fucking tased in front of us. Like, I think if he were to swear, I don't know. I think I'd understand why. I don't think it would be a big, you know, I wouldn't be like, oh, the language. I'd be like, well, you just watched me get fucking tased. So, I mean, it was the full thing. Like, he stood there. The guy shot him, and it's the kind that shoots the prongs out. They gave him, as they put it, a 5-second ride. So it shoots out these two prongs and tases him, and he fell like these two guys caught him. But I learned a little bit about how these tasers work, which was kind of interesting. Because I think a lot of times, if a taser's not used, we're kind of like, why did they use a gun instead of a taser? Which, like, I wish I could, like... I don't know. I think there's a lot of interesting... I think a lot of officers make fucking stupid, terrible choices when it comes to this stuff. Like, I don't want to be seen as saying, like, officers are right to shoot people. You know what I mean? But it turns out that, like, taser is not the foolproof whatever that we think it is. It's different. So, for example... When you tase somebody, okay, hang on, I'm going to get a coffee. Okay, so we learned a little bit about how a taser works and, like, what can cause a taser to be more or less functional, right? It was super interesting. So, like, okay, first things first. So those two prongs shoot out, and basically what a taser does is it tenses all the muscles between where those two prongs go. So, you know, he's saying, like, ideally, if you hit someone with this taser, you want, like, one prong if it went in their upper thigh and one in their upper back, because then basically you freeze up everything between those two spots. And so that would be ideal, right? Because that's pretty disabling for the most part. But a lot of times, you know, it doesn't work. You might get one prong. You might get no prongs. You might get both prongs in someone, but if they're only about 4 inches apart, all it's going to do is seize up the muscle that's, like, in that area. So it's not going to... That person won't be debilitated, right? So it doesn't work. They also said that, you know, if somebody's on, you know, PCP or something, they can basically overcome the taser pretty easily. And, you know, a lot of the things they get called for are people who are using drugs. One interesting thing someone said, you know, is there any, you know, type of, like, body style or something that it works better or worse? And the guy was like, oh yeah, like, somebody with really low body fat, it's way more effective. You know, there's just less for the charge to go through and stuff. He, patted his own stomach and was like, a guy like me is a little bit harder to tase, but, you know, he's like, there's nothing better than you show up to a scene and there's, like, some really ripped guy with no shirt on, and you're just like, well, if I have to tase this guy, I think I'm going to have a pretty easy time of it here. But, you know, thick clothing and stuff will block it. There's a lot of issues. So, like, the taser is not a foolproof system by any means. It does shoot out these things, too, they call aphids, and it's, like, basically these little scraps of paper that identify the taser that was used and all that shit. And the taser, you know, you take it back and you can plug it into a computer, and the computer will tell you, you know, what, when it was shot, how long, how many, like, you know, 5-second rides this person got and all that shit, right? So it's like a sophisticated thing, but it's like not great. I mean, I guess I thought it would be a little bit more, a little easier to use or something, but it's really not. So anyway, I guess like part of if you work at the sheriff's department, everyone gets tased eventually. Like, it's they want you to be tased so that you understand both the like how painful it would be for someone else, but also how debilitating it is or not, you know what I mean? So you kind of understand, you just need to understand what it is and what it does. So that was fucking crazy, though. I guess I just didn't think, you know, it'd be 8:15 in the morning and I would be just watching a dude flopping around on the ground getting tased. You know what I mean? And you're like, ah, that was an odd, it was an odd start to the day and like a weird vulnerability thing, right? Like, watching this guy get tased, and you're like, okay. Like, and he's just in a room full of people who are not. It's one thing, like, all right, the whole sheriff's department does it. We've all done it. We've all done our tase, you know. These are the tase. And now it's your turn, right? I feel like it's another thing entirely when you're sort of, when you're in there and, you're just in this group of people who have nothing to do with the sheriff's department and are not going to be tased, you know, God willing and all that. I don't know. It's like a whole other ball game, I think. Anyway, I'll have more stuff that happened at that we'll see if we can get to later. But for now, I'm gonna have to go. I gotta go to a meeting, you guys. Got a job to do. It's very important. I'm a very important man. So we'll see you next time.
Not gonna say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs and are they in harmony? Dee-dee, dee-doo-doo, you're half a snowman.